you'd stand in honor of God's word.
Yes, sir.
I'll begin reading in verse number 26. An angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. You may be seated. I want to preach tonight, if God had helped me and trust me, on chariot to the chariot. And this is as clear a picture of a man coming to Jesus Christ as I found in the scriptures. I mean, to really come the route of being born again. And I'm interested in this for several different reasons. But for one reason, this is just God and the preacher and the sinner. Nobody else involved at this time. There has been. But at this, and that's all that's needed.
Amen.
Is God and the sinner and the man of God.
Amen.
You say, well, all he needs a witness. First of all, somewhere there's got to be a man of God.
Right.
Or there'll be no conviction.
Amen.
Conviction has to be preached on a man. Amen. Or a woman or a boy and girl. Or they can never get right.
Amen.
And Philip here now is one of the original seven deacons.
Yes, sir.
He's also an evangelist. And he's here in a great revival. And God touches his heart to leave the revival and go into a deserted desert place. Doesn't make any sense. And there's a lot of things God wants you to do that at first may not make much sense. But having hindsight, looking back on things God told me to do and I did it, it makes so much sense now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And also, I look back at some things he said do and I didn't do it.
Right.
And I see now that I was a fool.
Right.
God knows what we need to do.
Yes, sir.
And if we'll obey him, it'll always turn out right.
Amen.
It may not make you any more money. It may not win and influence any friends. But it's worth it to be in the great will of God.
Amen.
Now, Philip didn't ask God, what does it pay down there? Or how many folks will be attending? Or how much benefits? And where am I and my family going to live? But the Bible said he arose and went. It's very important that you be completely obedient to what God would have you to do. I'm talking not only to preachers. I'm talking to every individual that's here tonight. God's operating here through an individual. I thank God for what the church is doing. God operates through the church. He doesn't operate through the lodge. He operates through the church. You say, preacher, I'd rather you wouldn't get on the lodge. Don't make any difference what you want. I've been in the lodge. I know what goes on at the lodge, and it's not the church. God operates through the church. And I'll say to you tonight, that he's not operating through anything else. And we sure need to get that in our minds. God's not operating down at the saloon or down on the beach where everybody's naked. He's operating through the church of the living God. And so he speaks to Philip. And Philip arises and goes down into Gaza, which is desert. Now, if God will help me tonight, I want to paint a picture to you of how important it is for you to be in the will of God at the right time, at the right place. Now, when he's working on Philip to get up and go, he's down at Jerusalem working on this Ethiopian eunuch to get up and go home. And God works on sinners. And if I'm getting this just right, there's just a little opportunity, a window of opportunity here for this operation to take place. I want to say, parent, if you miss it, parent, if mama, if you're going to work when that child needs you, you're liable to miss that opportunity. Now, don't you get quiet on me. I'm just preaching the word of God. You see, God don't just get on a sinner and deal with them where that every day, any time they please, they can get right with God. There's just a space of time known only to the Holy Ghost that a sinner can get born again. And if we miss that opportunity, if the age is gone, the spirit's gone, and they've left out of the care of God Almighty, it's dangerous that they may go to hell.
Amen.
Now, I'm hearing all across the country that it doesn't make any difference when a sinner wants to get right with God. All they have to do is just say, Lord, I'm ready to get in. And I'm very happy to tell you it just don't work that way. God has his timetable and his schedule. I want to say to you parents, be very sensitive about your children. That to realize that if you miss the time, you may miss it altogether. When they grow up, we have people in our church tonight, I'm sorry to say, that has grown up, parents has missed the opportunity. Maybe the church has missed it. They've gone on up in 13 years. All at once, they've got that drawing out in the world, and the opportunity's gone. I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, that have young children tonight, when they get in 13 years, there'll be a time when they'll become another person. You'll say, I don't know my child anymore. Something has happened to them, and they don't pay attention to me like they used to. They'll sit and stare off into the distance while you're talking to them, and it doesn't have any effect on them at all. And some of you have seen this. And if we get in the window of opportunity, it just may be we can win them to Jesus Christ before it's too late. Now, Philip is going down through the desert. What a lonely experience. I've noticed that serving Christ is not always every day being with folk.
Right.
That if you want to be in the will of God, there's got to be some alone time.
Right.
That if you are going to do the will of God, you can't always do it in a crowd.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, being a Christian, there's times when you have to get alone.
Yes.
And I found out if you're going to preach the gospel, you can't be around folk all the time joking and laughing. There's times when you got to be by yourself.
Yes.
Mom and daddy.
Amen.
Mom and daddy, hear this old wore out preacher tonight. If you're going to win your children to God, there'll be some times when absolutely looks like you don't fit in the world. You're an oddball. You're a parent. And there's some things you demand of your children and of your household that's sure not popular in this world. But thank God one day when you see that child bow at an altar and raise up, thank God, with the tears streaming down and say, I'm saved, saved, saved. You'll thank God for the opportunity that you had to do what you had to do in order for him to get right with God. Hallelujah. I'm glad, thank God, there's payment for being on time and being where God wants you to be. Amen. I remember God calling me to preach. My daddy was the finest Christian I've ever known. He quit school in the second grade. He could write his name But he had voiced them letters. You could see his lips move while he tried to sign a check. And he'd get it done after a while. But he had problems of reading. But he was the finest Christian I ever knew. And he said God called him to pray. And I never heard of that before, never have heard of it since. But if you would have heard Daddy pray, you would have said it's in there somewhere in the Bible that God calls some people to pray. And when my daddy prayed, he couldn't read, and a lot of things he couldn't understand. He could read a little better than what he could write. But when he prayed, he became a college graduate. It's an amazing thing. And where I went to church, it was liberal. I belonged to a liberal Southern Baptist church and had no real Holy Ghost. But when my daddy prayed, the church was old-timey for a few minutes. And I thank God. You say, what's the matter, preacher? He met the conditions of God. All of our family revered our daddy. I had a good mama. Thank God for that. She had a little bit of education. But she provided for us. We were poor. I don't mean we didn't have it. I mean we didn't have anything. And my mama, I knew where all the trees in the country, old apple trees, were that the farm houses had been abandoned. And she knew when every apple down there got ripe. And she'd have us to go and get them where folks had moved away. And I had in that day little old peaches. Wasn't no bigger than that when they got ripe. And she'd whittle them off and make preserves out of and them and can them peaches. You'd say, what's the matter there? She loved us and loved Jesus. And she'd shout, she's the only one in our church besides Miss Jones that'd shout. Thank God for a mama that'd shout. And she was on time. I tell you, I was about 12 or 13 years old and sitting in the second seat here. And I had all of my barricades built up, and I was a plowing barefooted and no shirt on. It's overhauls, galluses over my shoulders with a turning plow and a team of horses. And we was poor and had nothing. And I was the poorest boy around, and folks laughed at me. And so I had my barricades built up. I was helping them sing, just as I am without one plea. Where he leads me, I believe it was, I will follow. And I heard my mama's voice quit in the choir. And stumbled, she had rheumatoid arthritis. The doctor said she suffered more than any person that he'd ever known. And she made her way down through here and turned down my aisle. And one of her tears fell on my songbook and broke down all my barricades. I say, thank God she is right on time. It pays, thank God, to stay near the cross and in the Holy Ghost that God can use you. Now down through the desert from Jerusalem comes this Ethiopian eunuch. He's probably a black man. I think he was. It's very possible to be an Ethiopian and not be black. Moses' wife was not a black person. She's an Ethiopian. Moses' wife was kin to him. And you hear that all the time. That's not in the message. I just thought I'd throw that in there to help you. And I want to say now, he's coming down and he had been to Jerusalem. The Bible said for to worship. It didn't say he'd been to Jerusalem worshiping. He'd just been down there trying. You see, lost people can't worship. And that includes Baptist churches. And we've got a lot of folks in Baptist churches that come trying to worship, but they don't ever make it. And lost people trying to worship is a hindrance and never a help. But he'd been down there trying to worship, and it just so happened, Brother Powers, that he had his Bible open to Isaiah. It just so happened that he is reading about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it just so happened that Philip's coming down through the desert. If Philip would have been 30 minutes late, he'd have missed him. If the Ethiopian eunuch had been 30 minutes early, he'd have missed him. Just a little old wind of opportunity. But both of them, under direction leadership of the Holy Ghost, they met exactly on the right time. And Philip heard him reading out of Isaiah about the Lord being slain like a dumb lamb. And I'm going to tell you, it's amazing how God connects things up.
Yes, amen,
and Philip just stood there. If he'd have been some of these modern quick deal evangelists, he'd have hollered at him and asked him if he knew he was going to heaven when he died and had his book open to Romans. You say it wasn't written then. You leave me alone. I'm preaching. I want to say to you that there's no quick fix to it. Sinner either gets under conviction by the power of the Holy Ghost and repents, or he never gets born again. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
I heard, I guess it's been 2 or 3 years ago now, a boy in South Carolina, great big old boy, they had him down on the altar praying. And he said, the preacher said, I want to read Romans to you now. And read the Roman road. Read it to him, said, you believe that? Said, I do believe it. Said, all right, let's pray, and God's going to save you. Prayed. And said, are you saved, ain't you? He said, no, sir, I'm still lost. He said, I want to read the Roman road to you again. Oh, said, understand it, son. He read it again. Said, you understand it? Said, perfectly. Do you believe it? Said, yes, I do all of it. Let's pray again. He said, and God's going to save you. And he prayed again. Said, you saved, ain't you? He said, no, sir, wait a minute. He said, I'm not trying to get to Rome. I'm trying to get to God.
Amen.
Tell me about Calvary. Tell me about the crucifixion and Christ dying for my sins. Hey, hey, there's not one but one road, and it's through repentance and faith in the Lord God. Philip just standing there. And he said, hey, mister, do you understand what you're reading? Now listen how smart this black man is. He said, how can I except some man should guide me? Now, I won't tell you tonight, God can save every sinner in here that he wants to. He can supernaturally touch you and make you come to the altar and give you faith. That's not the way it works. He just don't. And listen, God's got a plan. He's either got a plan or he ain't. If anything works, nothing could work just as well. But he's got a plan for sinners. And so Philip's a holding off. But he's not going to miss this window of opportunity. The same Holy Ghost that told him to go down in the desert will give him the next step. The same Holy Ghost that gets a sinner on the altar is able to save him. Some preacher asked me, said, don't you, I was just a sinner on the altar. And he said, don't you know how to lead a sinner to God? I said, no, I don't. I didn't know it's my job. I thought it's the Holy Ghost that's supposed to lead sinners to repentance and faith. The preacher can talk to you all he wants to. And that's good if God's leading him to do it. But somewhere the sinner's got to do business with God Almighty. Nobody but the sinner and the Lord. I don't know much, but what I do know, I know real good. I know, thank God, there's going to have to be a dealing between the lost sinner. Now, I'm going to tell you what I think. I don't believe a three-year-old can get under conviction consciously, realize they're a hell-bound sinner, and that they need saving and exercise faith in Jesus Christ. It's going to take some more mind than that. I don't know how old it is a child has to be to reach the age of accountability. Is not the same in any child. But I'm going to tell you, that's up to God.
Yeah.
And when folks do get under conviction, it'll be evident.
Amen. Amen.
When folks really, really, when God's touched their hearts, it'll be evident that God's a-dealing with them.
Amen.
And mom and daddy, you better watch. I tell you what tonight, if I had a child this size, well, it wouldn't make any difference if he's 6'6". And he lived in my house, wouldn't let him go to a liberal church.
Amen.
Thank God I'm going to send him down where the old man of God's a spitting and a sweating and declaring sin, sin. And it'll take you to hell where they don't have any programs and games and hay rides. Thank God and puppet shows and folks are standing up around the pulpit half naked of singing. Thank God I take them down somewhere where the man of God's not afraid of his wife, nor the piano player and the deacon board, and he'll preach hellfire and brimstone that sinners can get under conviction, get in. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, I'm saved.
Amen. Amen.
I feel good about being in tonight. I had a hard time of getting in. I had a hard belong to that liberal church, and nobody hardly in the church is saved. My old mom and daddy's praying for me, and I knew they were. I was under conviction, bad conviction, for 2 years. Just off and on. Sometimes I could eat and sometimes I couldn't. But thank God one morning. I'm talking about being under all of that load. Went down on the hillside to hunt. I'd go get the cows and hunt them in them hills and valleys and hollers. Sometimes couldn't find them. Take me a day or two to find them. And I'm telling you what's right. But that morning I done had all I could stand. I'd tried everything else. Got down there at the head of that gully underneath that persimmon tree and said, Lord, live or die, sink or swim. I'm going to stay down here till I starve to death or get born again. The next thing I know, I had the cows and headed to the house, sang an Amazing Grace and knew there'd been a change in my heart. Hey, hey, when God saves, you'll know it. When the delivering hand of God comes to your heart, thank God you'll know it. I'm glad you can know when you come through that window of opportunity and pray your way through to God and find blessed relief. There's nothing like it in this world. It's an amazing thing. I've been saved ever since. Thank God putting my trust and my hope in Him. I'm telling you what's right. And all at once, the Holy Ghost said, Philip, join yourself to the chariot. You see that sinner sitting back yonder, God's working on him. And if he's not working on him, you better leave him alone. He's sitting back yonder, and you say, well, there's old Charlie. He's a sinner. He's at church tonight. We've been praying for him. And surely it's right, and I need to go to him and invite him to an altar. You'll do more harm talking to him without God leading you than you would if you stayed where you are. Are you hearing me now? I'm giving you a real lesson in theology and winning the lost to Jesus Christ. Leave it to God. Pray and get the power in the church and in the pulpit, and God will deal with the sinner. Join thyself to the chariot. And never did say anything about the chariot stopping. Just walking along, maybe Philip with his foot on that step-up place, like he used to be in them old-time buggies and surreys. You know what I'm talking about, where he had that little round step, and old Philip, no doubt, with his hand on that, walking around. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? And then, lo and behold, he invited him up in the chariot. Now, if that lost person never does invite you in, you're lost. You've had it, buddy. You can't win him to God until you get invited. Ain't that right? God help your heart. If you think you can stop him at the stoplight or the checkout counter and berate him and tell him he's going to hell and he's a filthy, low-down cigarette sucker and a backer spitter and get him under conviction, get him born again, you might as well be talking to Grandpa's mule. It ain't going to have no effect. But if you can get him in the condition where he invites you up into his chariot, you can talk to him again. And he said, I want to know something here. What does this mean? Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
I want to tell you tonight, my friend, if you're here and lost, Jesus wants to save you. And if he's touched your heart, to wait till this meeting's over, you may miss the window of opportunity. I said, if he's touching your heart, just to want to get saved is not enough. Did you know that there's a scripture that said many shall strive to enter and shall not be able?
That's right.
How about that? There's such a thing as you trying to get saved and cannot get saved until the window opens. And when the window opens, you better get in. When that opportunity, when that time comes, God will get you in. I've seen some amazing things. I saved in about 1951. I don't know exactly the year, about 1951. Started preaching in 1960. And I've seen some amazing things. Never have. All these years of preaching, heard a lot of testimonies. Probably 100,000, 200,000 or 300,000 or a million testimonies. And I never heard anybody say, I'm sorry the day I got right with God.
Amen.
But I've heard lots of people say, I'm sorry I waited as long as I did.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, God don't owe you a lifetime of conviction.
That's right.
God don't owe you to keep the window of opportunity open to you all the days of your life. It can be 2 hours or 15 minutes or 25 years. Ain't none of my business. But while he's dealing with you, you can get born again. But if it's ever shut off, if it's ever shut off, you cannot get in.
Amen.
And the Bible said he began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. What a meeting. Just him and one more feller. Isn't that something? The Bible said he preached to him. Didn't say he taught him. Didn't say he witnessed to him. Said he preached to him. I believe he got loud and got to slobbering and spitting up in that buggy. You see, there's something about this. You say, preacher, can a man preach and not get all? Yeah, he can. But I'm going to tell you, I like his style better. But I'm going to tell you that when preaching's going on, when real preaching's going on, the Holy Ghost is in it.
Amen.
And a man of God, when he's preaching the Holy Ghost, he can't help but get tore up.
Right.
Now, I believe before a person gets saved, they've got to hear preaching.
Yes,
and
right.
Folks will say, you mean in the... No, sir. I believe a man of God can sit down by the hospital bed in the Holy Ghost and talk not much louder than a whisper and be preaching the gospel to a sinner.
Sure
he can. A woman can't do it. A deacon can't do it. Ain't no use you look at me that way. There's no instance in the Bible. You have no scripture. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The Bible said faith comes by hearing and not by reading the tract. The faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And how can they hear without a preacher? Amen. You quote your scripture to me after service tonight, but it ain't going to do no good. I done been looking.
Yeah.
I want to say, I'm going to say he preached to him Jesus. I don't know how long he preached to him, wouldn't make any difference. But when it's been effective, that's enough. And then Philip said, what doth hinder me? He said, I want to get baptized. Now, baptism has nothing to do with salvation. But it does have something to do with being a Christian. You can be saved without being baptized, but you can't be a Christian without being baptized. It's a command in the Word of God.
Sure it is.
Are y'all hearing me?
Yeah.
You say, what are you, Church of Christ? That's exactly right. And Church of God too. Amen.
Yeah.
All of it together. As the preacher said, I like it all.
Yeah.
But I want to tell you what's right is right. Amen. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you there's no such thing as being scripturally baptized until you're born again.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you, if you've been saved and you're right, you want to get baptized.
Right.
Now listen to this tonight. Somebody's sitting here tonight. I don't know how old you are, how young you are, but God dealing with your heart. May I dealt with you last night or last week in the camp meeting. And you need to get in while you can. Parents, listen to me tonight. Are you watching for the window of opportunity? Are you so wrapped up in the doings of this age, paying your bills and getting ahead, driving a better car and living in a finer house, that you've lost sight of the window of opportunity of your lost loved ones? Have you about give up and quit praying for lost folk? I'm going to give an invitation in just a few minutes. And I'm going to tell you, while you still got time, you need to pray again for your lost. I'm a seeing this world get away from old time dealing with sinners and just making easy believism. Just this little old, it's easy stuff like, here I am, you lucky Lord. I've decided finally to throw in with you and help you out because I know you need help. But I'm going to tell you, it don't work that way. God wants to save you, and he will. Mom and grandma, I'm seeing a tendency now of grandmas and grandpas having to raise their grandyoungins because of the wickedness and the overzealousness of the young people. Grandma and grandpa, it's time to pray. Beg God to help you to raise your youngins right. We keep my daughter, her husband left her. We keep our granddaughter when she's not in school. And I tell you, I want my house to be a place where she hears me and mama and grandma pray.
Amen.
Where we pray over our meals and talk to her about God.
Yes.
Take her to an old time church. Amen. Amen. God help us tonight. Everybody stand. You all know the story. This Ethiopian eunuch got born again. Philip baptized him. Listen to me tonight. What about you youngins? What about your grandchildren? What about your brother, your sister? Have you prayed for them lately? Would you like to see them come to an altar and get born again before it's too late? While we sing together, dear brother, just as I am, without one plea, would you come and bow tonight? Those of you, if you're in the music part and you need to pray, you can leave your position and get on this altar and pray. There's a whole bunch of folk tonight that need to come and ask God to help. Everybody tonight, be sensitive to what God would have you to do. O Lamb of God, Toby.